Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, college football fans. We are rushing the field. I'd like to welcome you to our first interview session of 2016. I am your host, Nate Edwards, coming to you live from St. Louis. On the East Coast, we have Adam Milton representing St. Louis and Washington, D.C. Say hello, Adam.
How's everybody doing tonight?
We're doing excellent because this is a very, very special episode. We have with us tonight the legend of Nebraska Cornhuskers, the Heisman winner. We have Eric Crouch. Welcome, Eric.
Yeah, thank you for having me. I really appreciate it. But, hey, look, I'm no legend. No legend here.
Oh, my goodness. Nice and humble.
Well, whatever you think you are well-known in college football circles. You've got many, many memorable plays against many different teams. And growing up watching you was quite the experience. So we're very glad to have you on, and we appreciate you taking the time. And we're going to find out a little bit about behind the myth, more about the man of Eric Crouch. So let's take it away, Adam.
Yeah, so Eric, again, I'm happy to have you on. Good to talk to you. You're from Omaha, Nebraska. You're always a Nebraska Cornhusker fan?
Well, I mean, in a roundabout way, yes. But you know, we played growing up. I came from a divorced family, and my mom worked a lot, and so I was outside playing football, street football, tackle football, snow football, all that stuff. And then, you know, when I started to, I knew about Nebraska football, but the way I knew about it is when I went to my dad's on the weekends. He was watching the games. And so I remember, watching Steve Taylor and some of these quarterbacks. Now, I wasn't quite watching Turner Gill. You know, I was probably only 5 years old when Turner was a senior. So I don't quite remember watching Turner play. But some of the quarterbacks after him absolutely have great memories of watching them play. But it wasn't like I watched him every single weekend because I was playing our little league games at the same time. I do remember many of people in the stands and even the coaches had headphones in listening to the games.
Wow. So the last one was really interesting. Your freshman year, you were a redshirting freshman. You redshirted because of an ankle injury. Can you talk a little bit more about that injury? Like, what happened? Like, was that redshirt?
I think I was probably going to take a redshirt anyway. You know, that year Scott Frost was the quarterback, and they did not have any needs at that position that year. I mean, Scott had it wrapped up. I mean, he was, as we know, a great athlete who won a national championship with Nebraska. So I came in and had some lingering injuries from high school. I had an ankle injury that was bothering me. I also had what was called a nerve entrapment behind on my other knee.
Oh, man.
So I went in and had two surgeries at the same time on both legs. So I had an ankle surgery where they drilled into the bone and tried to create some bleeding, which was very painful.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Then behind my other leg, they cut my knee open from the backside. And what they had to do was debride a nerve because a nerve had been entrapped by blood vessels. So it was kind of a strange surgery. But
wow.
Bottom line is I was down and out, man. I had wheeled out of the hospital in a wheelchair, couldn't put pressure on either leg, and it was really a humbling experience. And it took a while to get back my confidence to be able to, you know, to get back out in the field and participate.
Wow.
Wow. You can't see our faces, and this is terrible radio, but wow, my face is just completely contorted.
Well, I remember people joking around, actually, when they looked at my leg, they're like, I was telling people I got attacked by a shark because of the stitches, and it just that the skin, the way it looked and the way that they cut into me looked like a shark attack.
That is insane.
Well, no joke.
Speaking of confidence and things that you've overcome, that 1999 season, there was a lot of quarterback shuffling between you and Bobby Newcomb. And how did you take that? Were you guys close, and did that affect your relationship?
Well, I about left Nebraska. I was real close. And basically, I had all the support from the team and very little support from my coaches at the time. And that was just frustrating. You know, seniors and juniors and team captains and they all had my back and all had in support of me being the quarterback. And as you know, football is one of those sports that it can really affect team if the wrong player is the leader.
Absolutely.
And, you know, Bobby was a tremendous athlete. But what Bobby struggled with was his ability to connect with his team. Bobby was the first one in the locker room and the first one out. And it was just rare that you saw him around the teammates, and he was kind of kept to himself. Doesn't mean that he was a bad football player. He's quite the opposite, a tremendous football player. But it was, I think, his connection with his teammates is what really hurt him when it was time to make a decision at crunch time to who was going to be the quarterback moving forward. And I had that ability to connect with the team, and I think we were probably very similar in talent. But just the ability to have your team fighting for you play after play. And I think that's what made the difference.
Yeah, wow. Gosh. You know, if you had left, where were you thinking about going?
You know, I don't know. I don't think I got that far. I think I was just upset. And, you know, I didn't think at all where I might go. In the recruiting process, I visited Notre Dame and Ohio State. I was committed to Nebraska, and you know this was it was just a tough situation at a young age, going through some tough times. And quite frankly, every single player probably has that time when they get to college football because it's very competitive. It's just the right thing for me, and I think that's really what I was at. I was at that point in my career where I was questioning myself, is this the right thing for me? I mean, am I good enough to play at this level? And I think we all kind of sat back, and I had a great supporting team as far as my family and friends and the coaches that were there. Ron Brown was very supportive, and Frank Solich and Turner Gill, everybody was in support of getting me on the field and having me be part of this program. So it really worked out. Like I said, I was real close. I don't even want to think about what may have happened if I would have left, because we probably wouldn't be having this phone call right now. But things happen for a reason. I think you question yourself. But all in all, is that the moral of the story is there's kids out there that give up, and I was very fortunate to continue down the path of playing football at a collegiate level.
Yeah, I'd say I think it definitely worked out, and I know when you're young, sometimes you can be impulsive or feel like things are just not going your way. But
when you make emotional decisions.
Yeah, exactly. So, well, I'm glad that you stuck with it and that it worked out, because you had a heck of a season there. I did want to ask you, about Black 41 Flash Reverse Pass. I'm sure you're asked about this all the time. But for anybody who doesn't know, this was a trick play. A reverse that the receiver, I believe, threw it to you, and you were streaking down the field. I think you had your guy beat by about 3 yards.
I better. He was a defensive end.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
Well, let me just tell you.
Man, that was an excellent play.
Yeah, well, thank you. Well, I'll just start off by saying this, is that we came to our meetings that week, and Frank Solich put on a video. And, you know, the lights went out quick in that meeting, and the video went up, and he's like, I want everybody to watch this. And he started playing old Nebraska-Oklahoma clips. And in all these clips that we were watching, clip after clip, the fumble Ruski, a halfback pass, a trick play here, a trick play there. I'm thinking, geez, was this Oklahoma-Nebraska rivalry about trick plays? You know, I mean, it was much more than that, but this video started to get me to think, and then the lights went back on, and he rolls up the screen, and there's the play, black flash 41 reverse pass, you know, and we're all looking at this like, okay, I get it, you know, like, we need to put a trick play in. So we got out to practice, and the play didn't work. Intercepted first time. Second time we ran it. Fumble, right? Fumble.
Wow.
Ran it a third time. You know, we couldn't get it off. It was incomplete. You know, couldn't make the connection. And so, like, by Friday or Thursday, I think, the coach was like, this play's out. It's out. We're not doing it. So it's not in the game plan. Well, we get to the game, and we hadn't talked about it at all. I mean, since he threw it out, he's like, it's out. Well, we go over to the sideline. He calls this play. And I'm just trying to, you know, I'm like, well, this in my head, I'm thinking, oh, I better not sit here and argue with the coach about this because, one, the play clock is running. And, two, if I start to talk to him about what are you talking about like this, and then it might tip our hats. So I just played it off. I'm like, shoots, he called it. Let's run it. So we get in there, we call the play, and, I mean, the rest is history. And so it was one of those plays that people come up to me literally every single day and make a comment about, I was sitting in this row in this section when you caught that pass. And the stadium has never been louder than that in my entire life. And so I think it created a lot of fun memories for Nebraska fans.
Wow, that's great. It's one of the few plays that actually has its own Wikipedia page. And I've actually watched that play on YouTube a few times myself. it's a lot of fun to watch. About the 2001 season, when did you realize you were going to be a finalist for the Heisman? Can you elaborate on that experience?
Well, it was a great experience. I never really imagined that I would get that far. You know, I wanted to win. I wanted to compete. I loved the game of football, and, you know, being around your teammates for practice and for training and during the games, it's the greatest sport alive. And I've had so much fun with it. And I never, my goal wasn't to win the Heisman Trophy. My goal was just to play on a team and have fun and win and compete and do it at the highest level. So, you know, when I was mentioned in as far as getting an invitation to go to New York, I was ecstatic. I was excited about the opportunity, and, you know, because we lost against Colorado pretty bad the week that people were actually supposed to be having their best game of their lives. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, we lost. We got beat. We were 11-0 going in, and Colorado knocked us off. They beat us pretty bad, and it ruined our season pretty much. So I was just, again, the voters, they're the ones that vote, and they must have seen something. And, you know, we had our biggest day offensively. We probably put up 580 yards, and we had a pretty good day, but I think our defense really struggled, and we had opportunities offensively that we just didn't capitalize on. But the experience was great. I mean, New York City for the first time, and being there with you know, Rex Grossman and Ken Dorsey and just enjoying the atmosphere. And Joey Harrington was also there. So just getting to know the other players and being invited and then coming out with a victory of being named the Heisman Trophy winner is just something that, you know, you don't plan for something like that. It's just mm-hmm. I remember my heart just pounding out of my chest when they made the announcement.
Wow, that's incredible. That is incredible. Man, that's so cool, Eric. Speaking of the Heisman, how involved are you in the voting and decision-making process? I always wonder about this. Do you talk to the other voters about who you will vote for and talk to the past winners?
Well, I don't really make it up. You know, I don't really call up and say who you're voting for, but, you know, I may be in interviews with Tim Brown or Johnny Rogers or, you know, Gino Toretta, and just that you get their feel about who they like, you know, mid-season. But, you know, we hold those votes to our chest until after the Heisman ceremony is complete. But it's not something that we watch. You know, I know that I'm watching games, and you know, I wish I got to see a little bit more of the candidates this year. But for the most part, I've been covering college football for 5 years. This year, I you know, laid back a little bit and didn't cover it as heavily. But you know, I think you want to. You're excited. You got to vote. I mean, you want it to be real. You want it to be useful. And so just staying on top of it and watching the games and seeing how these players develop and you know, when times are tough come through and the adversity, it's just you want to put the best vote you can to paper.
Wow.
Yeah, so let me kind of put your feet to the fire here. Can you tell us about your ballot from 2015?
Sure, yeah. I mean, it was a tough decision. I think there was a lot of, you know, late push from McCaffrey at Stanford, and I think Deshaun Watson was, you know, one of the best dual threat players that's played the game in a long time, and
mm-hmm.
and Henry, you know, just his brute strength and what he was able to accomplish throughout the year. I mean, I was a little biased towards the quarterback position, so I think you guys know who that was. I mean, he's my favorite player to watch. I mean, especially after, you know, what Clemson's been able to do, Dabo Sweeney, and just watching. I mean, I like the way that Deshaun Watson plays the game. I like his leadership skills. I like the fact that he's not afraid of contact. You know, a true warrior, somebody that will sacrifice their body for their team. And I watch him run, and you know, that's what I had in myself that I think my teammates appreciated. Was that you're there to sacrifice for the guys around you, and there's no doubt in my mind that's why they're so successful. It's because of the quarterback play. I mean, you put a guy like that behind center, who can throw and who can run and do it at a very high level. It changes the game.
Yeah, I know you definitely watching your highlights. You definitely weren't afraid to put your body out there. I was always impressed with your ability to convert speed to power. I thought you were one of my favorite things about you. As a Heisman voter, though, in the preseason, how serious do you take those preseason lists? Do you have any players on your short list for next season, if I may be so bold?
Well, I think Deshaun Watson's one of them.
Good.
I mean, I one of the things I look at preseason, and I think it's – after watching the national championship game, I think he's going to be the front runner. There's no doubt about it. I don't put a whole lot into it because that's just preseason rankings, pretty similar to preseason rankings for college football polls and teams. You want to see the teams play. You want to see them play top competition, and you want to see them get better as the year goes on. And I think the same goes for the Heisman Trophy. There's preseason, but you want to see players develop. You want to see them play at the highest level, and you want to see them they're playing that at the end of the year when they're playing the toughest competition. So, you know, it's hard. I've never put a lot in the preseason, but it's something to talk about and discuss based on what players have done the previous year.
Yeah. I would
say
my short list probably includes Deshaun Watson and Christian McCaffrey. But
right.
For me, it's, you know, you were under the spotlight, you know, you had that opportunity to take it, and now you're back in the spotlight. Can you reproduce again? That's my question for them. What do you think about that?
Well, I think there's been several that have done it, that have been invited to come back and been right up there in the voting. And based on their youth and their success and their coaching staffs, I mean, they've got great coaches. I think that's a huge aspect when you have a good coach that can get the best out of their players. I think both those guys you'll probably see them back in New York City. There's no
mm-hmm.
doubt about it. I think you're right on. You know, you don't expect anything less than them. I mean, they both had tremendous years. Maybe the numbers won't be there, but the victories will be there, and the
mm-hmm.
opportunities to compete at a high level will be there as well.
Absolutely, yeah. Getting back to your alma mater, Do you still watch Nebraska games live? How often do you return to Lincoln to watch them?
Well, I'll tell you what, this year that I wasn't covering college football on Saturdays, I got to see probably the most games I've seen since I graduated. I think we saw three or four games. I've got a son that's 11 years old, so it's fun to go take him to the games and then be around the atmosphere of the program and get him seeing that and just, you know, watch the new staff and some of the players get after it. You know, it's we live close. We're about an hour away, so it's when you have a venue like that close and relationships still that are there, and you know, we know people, so it's just good. It's good to be around that atmosphere. It's fun and exciting. So I'm looking forward to watching Nebraska climb their way to prominence again. It's way overdue.
Yeah, you spoke about the staff. I want to ask you a question about Bo Pelini. Did you agree with the university's choice to let go of Bo Pelini? Did you agree with any of what happened?
Well, you know, I was Bo's supporter. I supported Bo. I thought he was a good coach, and I did support him, and I had some mixed feelings about what they did. A guy that's won a lot of football games but may not do it as gracefully as they wanted. I don't know if that's the right decision. I think that there was an athletic director with Sean who, you know, may have not have seen eye to eye with Bo, and I think that was really the story. That was really why it probably happened. And I think Nebraska was used to something different, and they were used to kind of that Tom Osborne type that had been there for so long. And Bo is a great coach, but I just don't think Bo related to Nebraskans and was very good with the media. And now that he believed in what he believed, but I think right now I was a Bo supporter, and this is where I have mixed feelings because I do believe that the university is doing the right thing. They probably did make the right decision because if they've got, you got to understand that the athletic director is in charge, and if he has someone there that is that they one don't get along with or don't believe in their philosophy, then I think the trickle down effect is going to be bad on the players. And so I think that the athletic director has got to be on the same page as the head coach. Otherwise, it just probably isn't going to work out. And so I agree with at least that chemistry. And so I believe that Mike Riley was a great hire.
Yeah, he did incredible things at Oregon State, which was a perennial, bottom dweller in the Pac-10, Pac-12. I know his first season didn't really go as well as everyone expected, but how would you grade the team's play on the field?
Well, I think it's pretty average. I think there's a long ways to go. I think the players would agree. I think the coaches would agree. The record speaks for itself. We don't have to really sit here and talk about a whole lot other than it's, I think there's some that would say below average. But I think that there's the right type of coaches that care about the players. They're competitive. The coaches probably still have a lot to learn as well. Danny Langsdorf's first year as an offensive coordinator there, I'm sure there's plenty for him to learn. And so I think that, with that being said, they've got a lot of good opportunities. You know, there are a lot of players here that have a lot of talent. They were in every game. I mean, they showed that they can compete with teams that are in the top five by beating Michigan State. That's a good football team. And so it just has to come down now to the confidence every week and the ability to be consistent. And so that's where they need to work, consistency and confidence.
Yeah. Well, it'll be very interesting to see what they can do this upcoming year with another year under the Riley system. Tell you what, Eric, we are getting close to the end here, so we want to go into Rush the Field specialty, the 2-minute drill. We'll take 2 minutes
right.
on the clock. We'll ask you some rapid-fire questions. You just give us the quick response, and we'll move right on. How's that sound?
Sounds great.
All right.
How quick
we'll
is my response?
2 minutes. As quick as you want it, sir.
Okay.
That's my
as
answer.
Quick as you on the field. How about that?
There it is. There it is.
Right
All
now?
Right, so we got 2 minutes, and here we go. Eric, what was your favorite player growing up?
John Elway.
Did you always want to play quarterback? And if not, what other position?
I always wanted to play quarterback. I love that position. Love throwing the ball and running it and being the leader out there on the field.
Who is your current favorite college football player?
We talked about him today. Deshaun Watson, great quarterback, great leader, very exciting player to watch. I love his toughness.
Mm-hmm.
Which current college football player reminds you of you?
You know, the more I watch Deshaun Watson play, I'd have to say Deshaun Watson.
Wow. Okay.
Nice.
I like it. Now, I will admit, Adam and I are Mizzou fans, and growing up, watching you take down the Tigers was a very sad thing. But at least as a kid, I could appreciate how dang good you were. So I'm going to ask you, of all the plays that you had, including that 95-yard, we should have had you touchdown run, what play was the most memorable?
Well, I gotta say that there's a couple actually. But I would say the one that I refer to the most memorable is the touchdown in overtime at Notre Dame in 2000. We were up big and came from behind and won that in a tremendous fashion. And it's just something that always sticks out to me is going on the road and winning a big game.
Yeah.
Sorry, it wasn't. You're probably happy about it that it wasn't the Missouri.
I'm kind of relieved, I'll be honest.
I think Nate was in the stands for that, and I would definitely watch that one on TV.
Oh, yeah.
Do you have a game you wish you had another chance at?
Miami Hurricanes 2001.
Oh. Yeah, I kind of expected that, but.
Or Colorado Buffaloes 2001. Those are two games that I wish I had a second chance at.
Mm-hmm. What was your most memorable game of your entire Nebraska career?
Wow. That's a good question. I'm going to go with 1999 and the Big 12 championship game against Texas. That was the highest that we really got in championships, and while I was there, it was a conference championship win for us and redemption against Texas that year, which we shouldn't have lost the first game. I believe we were a top two. Well, we finished two in the country that year, but we could have beat anybody.
Awesome. And then last question: what's the best advice you could give a high schooler getting ready to play college ball?
Well, I think that that's a great question. I believe that be patient is going to be my advice because, you're going into a whole other league of athleticism and talent, and you're going to have to work harder than you've ever worked. So be patient, I think, and stay positive. Those two things, if you can just see a little bit of light and stay very, very positive around your teammates and coaches, you'll end up winning.
Awesome. Excellent advice from Eric Crouch, Heisman winner. I appreciate the time. Adam appreciates the time too, sir.
Yes,
excellent,
Eric,
excellent talking to you.
Great.
Yes,
yeah,
thank
no,
you. Thank you
great
for your time.
I appreciate you guys reaching out to me and wanting to talk, so thank you.
Yeah. Eric Crouch, ladies and gentlemen, the great Heisman winner from Nebraska, words coming from his mouth on our show. You're listening to it live. Yay. So thank you, Eric Crouch. For Adam Milton, I am Nate Edwards for Rush the Field and NBS Central. We thank you for tuning in. Have a great night, everybody.
Good night, everybody. Thank you.